Hello, and welcome to Right Now with Ralph Martin, a podcast where author, speaker, and worldwide renewal leader, Dr. Ralph Martin, shares what the Holy Spirit is stirring up in the church right now. Words of encouragement from the Lord to strengthen you for such a time as this. We are glad you can be with us this week as we seek to encourage you for this moment in history. And now, your host, Ralph Martin.
Hello, brothers and sisters. You know, if you've been following me at all over the last number of years, that I am concerned that sometimes when preaching and teaching happens in the lectionary, the regular readings that come up at Sunday Mass, the daily Mass, that sometimes the challenging things that Jesus says are ignored or are softened or explained away. And I recently had an experience like that. One of the really amazing things in Luke's gospel is in Luke chapter 13, where somebody asked Jesus a question, will there be few in number who are saved? Now, I was out of town when this came up in the liturgy recently, and I heard a very good sermon on it, but it ignored one of the most important things that Jesus said. And then I just happened to be looking at some YouTube videos from well-known Catholic preachers and teachers, and all of them gave good sermons on this text from Luke chapter 13, but all of them also didn't pay attention to actually Jesus's direct answer to the question. And while the insights were good, they were incomplete, and they left out something really critical. Now, when people asked Jesus the question, this is what it says. He went on his way through towns and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem, and someone said to him, Lord, will those who are saved be few? Now, that's an awfully direct question. And because we're familiar with this passage, because it comes around in the liturgy periodically, we know that Jesus doesn't answer it by giving numbers or percentages. So we then just skip over what he says, thinking like he didn't really answer the question, but he did in a very direct, very clear, very relevant way. This is what he said. And he said to them, strive to enter by the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able to. So the word strive, that's our English word strive, the Greek root for it is agonize, out of which we get our English word agonize. So Jesus' first answer to this question is, hey, you got to make an effort. You got to really agonize. You got to really pick up your cross. You better deny yourself. You better obey and listen to what I'm saying, or you won't enter the kingdom of God. Then he goes on to say, I tell you, many will seek to enter and will not be able to. When once the householder has risen up and shut the door, you'll begin to stand outside and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, open to us. He will answer you, I do not know where you come from. Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. So this is kind of pretty shocking, I would say. Jesus says, lots of people are going to try to enter into the Father's house. Lots of people are going to try to enter through the narrow door, but they're not going to be able to because they're not making enough effort. They're not responding to the grace that God is giving them. They're not saying yes to the invitation they're receiving. Many are called, Scripture says, but few are chosen. It isn't because the Lord doesn't want to choose everybody. The Lord has chosen everybody. The Lord has chosen to offer the grace of salvation to everybody. But he doesn't force anybody because it wouldn't be heaven if people were forced. It's only heaven when people freely choose to love, freely choose to receive the love of God the Father and the awesome love of His Son Jesus Christ and the powerful love of the Holy Spirit being poured into our hearts, saying yes to love and loving in return. Heaven would never be heaven with robots or automatons or people who are forced to do something that they really didn't want to do. Monsignor Charles Pope has oftentimes written on this subject, and he says, you know, people who don't want to live a chaste life, people who don't want to forgive, people who don't want to love would not be happy in heaven. They'd be miserable because heaven isn't what they want. And that's really true. But listen to some of the other little insights that the Lord is giving us here. People who find themselves outside after the door closes say, Lord, open to us. We ate and drank in your presence and you taught in our streets. So these are people who were sympathetic to Jesus. These are people who attended his maybe healing sessions and listened to his preaching. And these are people who ate and drank with him. Now, not everybody got that close to Jesus to eat and drink with him. Not everybody, as they were passing by, stopped to listen to Jesus. These people were interested. These people were sympathetic. But why would Jesus tell them, I don't know where you came from. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. Whoa. It's because they didn't enter into relationship with them. It's because they didn't believe what he was saying. It's because they didn't respond to the call to faith and repentance and conversion. It's because they didn't really say yes to Jesus in a way that implicated them as a disciple, as somebody who was going to base their life on him and his teaching. Now, the scary thing here is that we can have situations like this today in the church. We can have people like ourselves, for example, who are sympathetic to Jesus, who listen to his teachings, but maybe don't obey them. We can even have situations, and we know, unfortunately, this is the case from various studies and surveys that have been done, where people are eating and drinking of the Lord's body and blood in the Eucharist, but not obeying him, not believing him, not understanding what they're doing. And Vatican II in Lumen Gentium section 14 says it's not enough to be a member of the church just in our bodies, but we have to really receive the Word of God and live it. And if we don't live it in word and deed and thought, not only will we not be saved, but we will be the more severely judged. Now, I admit these are disturbing words, but the Lord is disturbing us out of our ignorance. He's disturbing us out of our indifference. He's disturbing us out of a blindness and a presumption and a foolishness that could lead us to hell. He's disturbing us because he loves us and he knows we need to be disturbed in order to wake up to reality. Then it goes on to say, he will say to you, I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. Then you will weep and gnash your teeth. This is the images that Jesus uses, the fire that never goes out, the worm that never stops gnawing at conscience, the weeping and gnashing of teeth, the outer darkness, all images of eternal loss, eternal separation from God, hell. Then you will weep and gnash your teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God and you yourselves thrust out. How devastating would it be to be on the outside knocking on the door and the Lord says, you've had your chance and you didn't take it. I did everything I could for you, but you didn't believe, you didn't obey, you didn't repent. And when the apostles started preaching, you weren't baptized. And men will come from the east and west and from north and south and sit at table in the kingdom of God. And behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last. Now, I've written a book. It's called Will Many Be Saved? What Vatican II Actually Teaches and Its Implications for New Evangelization, where I take a very careful look at how the Catholic Church really understands texts like Luke 13. Could it really be the case that many might be lost? Could it really be the case that only those who strive to enter by the narrow door are going to enter the kingdom of God? And the answer is yes, that really is the case. But I don't answer the question that's in the title of my book, Will Many Be Saved? But here's my answer. I believe many will be saved, because here it says that many will come from east and west, from north and south, and sit at table in the kingdom of God. And behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last. Now, this has a number of meanings on a number of different levels. First of all, Jesus is, first of all, talking to the Jews. He's talking to the Jews who hang out with him but don't believe in him, don't follow him, and maybe even end up saying, crucify him, or maybe even end up denying that they know him. And we remember what Jesus says, if you are ashamed of me before people, I'm going to be ashamed of you before my Father in heaven. I'm not going to get into talking about that, but this is just shocking statement after shocking statement that Jesus makes. You know, Peter Kreeft, the Catholic philosopher at Boston College, wrote a book called Jesus Shock. And he said, if you are not shocked by what Jesus is saying, you're not paying attention. But Luke 13 is kind of shocking. Many will try to enter, but will not be able to. But at the same time, we know that the many people who reject him, there's going to be many others who accept him. Now, we don't know whether the many that come from east and west are more than those who don't come. And so the answer to the question I raise in the title of my book, Will Many Be Saved, is that I think, thanks be to God, many will be saved. Many will respond to the offer of salvation of Jesus with humility, with faith, with repentance, and will end up dying in friendship with the Lord and be saved. Yes, many. But it also looks, unfortunately, like many may be lost. In fact, the overall picture you get from Scripture, not just Luke 13, but Matthew 7 and so many other texts, Matthew 13, you know, all the parables about the good, the grain and the weeds. What Jesus says is about many will say to me, Lord, Lord, but it's not enough to say, Lord, Lord, to enter the kingdom of God, but you have to do the will of my Father in heaven. So everything Jesus is saying is an invitation. It's an exhortation to say, don't just be interested in this as interesting thoughts. These are words that can lead us to salvation, which we reject at our own peril. So I hope that more and more, as life in the church goes on, that more and more people will be willing to talk about the whole picture, to not edit the gospel, to not leave out the disturbing parts. In some ways, the disturbing parts are the most important parts, because we really need to be disturbed. We need to be shaken out of a foolish presumption, a foolish ignorance, a foolish resistance to the depth of conversion that's really required in order to enter the kingdom of God. God bless you.
This podcast is brought to you by Renewal Ministries, part of the Renewal Podcast Network. If you are enjoying this podcast, we invite you to help us spread the word by leaving us a rating or review, following or subscribing to this podcast, or sharing on social media. Until next time, this is Right Now with Ralph Martin.